喂，喂，他。
This is rock and roll radio. Come on, let's rock and roll with the Ramones.
Hi, I'm Johnny Ramone of the Ramones. This year, America is celebrating a special anniversary, the 75th anniversary of the United States Army Reserve. You know, when you think about it, it's hard to believe that the Army Reserve is just 75 years old, because the tradition of the citizen soldiers has been around as long as America has. But it took us until 1908 to come around to actually setting up an Army Reserve force. Today, 75 years later, it's nearly 1 million strong, America's strength in reserve. So join me and the Ramones in wishing a happy 75th to all the dedicated men and women who serve their country in the Army Reserve.
And you're listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show. You just heard right there, Les Dragueurs with Les Blues de Drague, featuring John von Zelowitz, who I first met as part of the Mr. T Experience. He now resides in France, and this is his combo out there, Les Dragueurs, on their brand new 7-inch, Les Dragueurs, Les Blues de Dragueurs, Treats, Kansas, Bob, Linus, Triste, Les Dragueurs from France, featuring John von Zelowitz. John von, he was also in The Ripoffs as well. Coming up today on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, kind of a South by Southwest retrospective. I was at the South by Southwest Music Festival, and there's some interviews coming up on the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show that kind of have a relationship to the South by Southwest Music Festival, although not all the interviews were actually done at South by Southwest. But to begin the Nardwuar to Human Serviette Radio Show, I thought I would do an interview with a band that actually did play South by Southwest. Well, I actually did the interview at South by Southwest in Austin, Texas, and it's with The Hives, who have a brand new CD coming out sometime in the summer. And right after The Hives interview, there's going to be an interview with Franz Ferdinand, who actually played South by Southwest. I didn't talk to him there. I talked to him in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. But right after this, the Hives, and then right after that, Franz Ferdinand, all on CITR, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver. Who are you?
The Hives.
Who is in the Hives? Please elaborate.
Howlin' Pelangfist, Chris Dangerous, Dr. Matt Destruction, Nicholas Arson, and Vigilante Kahlström.
Now, Pelle of the Hives, you've caused some terrible things to happen to me.
What would that be?
You've turned me on to Swedish rock. After interviewing you guys a few years ago, and you guys, of course, are the...
epitome of Swedish rock.
The...
Hives.
The Hives. I indulged in a bit of Sahara Hot Nights. I talked to Sahara Hot Nights.
Okay.
And then after Sahara Hot Nights, Chris Dangerous, that wasn't enough. I went after the soundtrack of our lives.
Oh, Jesus.
All because of the Hives. Well, that almost rhymes. And then Hives, I went after the Caesars. I talked to the Caesars Hives.
Okay, sounds like a pretty bad case of Swedish rock.
A pretty bad case of the Hives, but it didn't stop there. Then I talked to the Sounds.
Okay.
I talked to the Sounds, and now it's all back to the Hives. Like, what have you guys caused? Do you know what you've caused? You caused me a total Swedish kick there, Pelle of the Hives.
But did it feel good?
It sounded amazing, all the music, and I loved it.
That's good, then.
Because it all comes back to the Hives, and now the Hives are back. You are back to reclaim, to capture the throne, aren't you, Pelle? Yeah. Here we are in 2004. You're back.
Yes, indeed.
And what are you guys going to be back with?
A new record.
Now, since this last record, what have the Hives been up to, Chris?
We've been actually making the new record that you're going to hear in about, I don't know, a while, I guess.
That's pretty exciting, Pelle. But you guys have been up to more exciting stuff, haven't you? Even more exciting to make a new record. You guys met The Clash, didn't you?
Yes, we met The Clash. And we met a bunch of people, actually. And we've been having our first time off since we were 15 years old, I guess.
And you guys bought some houses, I understand, Chris Dangerous of the Hives?
No.
You built some houses.
Yeah, at least one where we're rehearsing now.
And doesn't Matt Dangerous, have a special car, too? You guys bought cars, too? Range Rovers, Hummers?
There is no one named Matt Dangerous in our band, though.
Well, I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
Matt Destruction. Sorry, it's been a little while. Yeah. We're catching up.
Yeah. Did he buy what?
Didn't he buy a car? Have you guys got the cars and the houses now? You know, like, screw making the new record. You got the cars and you got the houses, yeah, right?
Exactly. But I don't know. Not all of us bought new cars. Is it anything special you're thinking about?
I was thought you maybe guys got the Snoop DeVille. That's Snoop Dogg's version of the Coupe DeVille.
I think we would have wanted it, but I think he keeps it for himself.
So, Pelle of the Hives, the last time I also talked to you, you said that ABBA were like ghosts and that nobody ever gets to meet ABBA. Have you met ABBA since there, Pelle of the Hives?
We have not met ABBA. They're still very much like ghosts. Apparently, there's rumors of them making the... What's that girl's name? The blonde one making a solo record. And it's supposed to be coming out soon, but you never know about these people.
Agneta, that is.
Yeah. Agneta.
Hives, when I'm talking to you guys, I must think that you've made an amazing impression. Because when I go to the Fagersta...
Okay.
The Fagersta website, because that's where you guys are from. Fagersta, right?
Yeah.
You're from Fagersta in Sweden, and I type culture into the website. Who comes up?
Yours truly, I guess.
The Hives! It's amazing! Is it true, like, you go into, like, Sweden, into Fagersta, and there's a sign that says, like, Fagersta, home of the Hives?
We're working on it, actually. It will be there when you next time you check it out.
But you guys are so modest, aren't you, Chris? Like, you were awarded some special award from the Swedish government, right? Is that not true?
That is true. It's sort of a prize that sort of tells everyone that we're basically... ABBA.
Yeah. Well, the sequel. ABBA the sequel. It's kind of like the Congressional Medal of Honor, but it's Swedish.
Because it's so great, Pelle. Like, you tell everybody that the Hives are the best. I mean, the Hives are the best, aren't they?
And eventually, it sinks in.
So now that everybody knows that the Hives are the best, what are you going to do? Like, Fagersta, you guys are acknowledged by your own hometown on that website.
I don't know. We got to get acknowledged in different places now. We still don't feel like we've been acknowledged in America as the best band in the world. There's a bit work.
And Canada, too.
Not Canada either.
We love you in Canada, too.
Some places in Canada have been really good to us, though.
Now, Pelle of the Hives, people might be interested in knowing what set it all off. What set the Hives thing all off? And I have a theory.
Maybe you should start, then.
I have a theory. My theory is three words. Tie my shoelaces.
You think that's it?
Is that what set off the Hives explosion there, Chris? And what am I alluding to right there? Tie my shoelaces.
I think I said that when we played somewhere.
Probably in Canada, since you said it. So.
You said it at some in-store in, like, Virgin Records.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
In Britain, you said, tie my shoelaces.
Yeah, because they came undone. Somebody untied them, and I had to tell them to tie them up again.
And then that just started the complete Hives explosion, didn't it? I mean, that is what started it all. I mean, you told the crowd to tie your shoes. Is that the secret? Like, if bands want to emulate the success of the Hives and end up, like, special Fagersta, did they say, tie my shoelaces?
Could you wait a second?
I don't know if that's the trick. I think you ought to make some really, really good songs.
And also be nice people, because that was very nice what you just did there, Pelle. Most bands, when the phone rings, they take the opportunity to run the hell out of the interview, but you chuck the phone, showing how nice you are and how rich you are. You can destroy the cell phone at any time.
No, I could, but I won't. I think it's pretty sturdy.
So, Pelle and Chris, here you guys are right now with your shirts and stuff. I understand there are new outfits, new Colonel Sanders type outfits you guys have.
I don't know who Colonel Sanders is, though.
He's like an American icon. You don't know who he is because you haven't conquered the States totally yet. But you have special... Don't you have, no Colonel Sanders in Sweden yet.
No.
Well, maybe you should open a franchise, a KFC franchise.
Oh, it's KFC. Okay, yeah. Okay.
They changed it. They got rid of the name Fried because they thought Americans wouldn't want to buy fried anymore, right?
And they got rid of chicken because it ain't chicken.
Because it's actually shark, right?
I don't know what it is, but apparently there's not enough chicken in it for them to call it chicken anymore. So that's why they have to call it KFC.
What are the new outfits like? I mean, I don't want to give away everything because we want people to come and see you, but what are the new outfits like?
The thing we can say is smashing.
Yeah. Black and white.
And smashing.
Hives, are you guys really the laziest group in rock and roll? Do you think you're the laziest group in rock and roll?
No, not at all.
Come on, 1999 was your last record?
But we played about 3,415 shows during that time.
I was thinking it's okay for you guys to be lazy, because why do you really need another record? Why do you guys need another record? I mean, you are the best. You are the best. You're the Hives. Why do you need to do another record?
That's what we've been thinking. The last one was perfectly fine.
Yeah, you nailed it. Like, why another one? Why even bother trying there, Chris?
Another one so soon.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, like 1999 was your last record. Like, why one in 2004?
Yeah, what's the rush? I mean, if it... You can listen to that record over and over again, but we figured it's been enough time now so that we miss us. And that's the most important thing. Even we started missing the Hives, and we are ourselves, you know. That's got to mean that the rest of the world are dying for something new from the Hives. So, before the world has time to die, we have to put out another record. So this is to save you. We're making a new record, and it's coming out pretty soon.
I thought it's also because you're tired of being a garbage man. Did you return to being a garbage man, Pelle?
No.
When you were back in Sweden, you are a garbage man on the side, aren't you? Just like the Cramps say, I'm a garbage man.
Yeah, but you're very well informed, but also a bit misinformed. It was Nicholas who was the garbage man. I myself was a postal worker.
But how about after the Hive success? Did you guys return to your jobs? Like, you returned to your job back in Sweden, right? Did you return back to your job there, Pelle? Please play along with me.
Sure, I did.
We're back to being a postal worker. And you're Pelle of the Hives. I understand another reason that you guys are making a new record is you want to help out your friends. I mean, you've helped out yourself. It's time to help out your friends.
Yes, it is.
Because I understand...
Who are we helping now?
I understand that you're covering the band The Reigning Sound. Who are The Reigning Sound, and what are you doing by covering them, and how much money could they hope to earn?
I have no idea. We played their song at some when we supported the Rolling Stones. They're a band from Memphis, Tennessee. He used to be in a band called The Oblivions, and they used to be in a bunch of bands. They're a band from Memphis, Tennessee that we think are really good, and then we play their songs at the Rolling Stones shows, because the Rolling Stones shows are, if you write down on a piece of paper what songs you play, they pay you per person at that show. And those Rolling Stones shows held like 60,000 people each. I don't know what that equates to in dollars and cents, but it should be at least a sandwich or something.
Which is really nice. You're helping out The Reigning Sound, buddies of yours.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
No, are you? Yeah, they certainly are. In fact, didn't the guy from The Reigning Sound give his guitar to Jack White? Isn't that where Jack White gets his guitar from?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think he sold it to him, though, but pretty cheap.
Pretty cheap. Are you doing any covers on the new record at all, Pelle?
I don't know. Not yet. We have a few covers planned, but I don't know if any of them are going to end up on the record, because we did so many good songs ourselves this time.
There's not...
Because you are so great, because you are the Hives. Actually, you guys are kind of accepted in the United States of America. I think you are accepted. I think you are.
Sure, at one point, but then we stayed away for a while, and now I don't know.
But you certainly...
People remember us?
I think you do, because didn't Funk Master Flex come to one of your gigs? Funk Master Flex.
I have no idea. Do you think?
Funk Master Flex came to one of your gigs.
I don't know if he did. Did he?
He did. Funk Master Flex. The legendary Funk Master Flex from the United States. Do you know who Funk Master Flex is?
He's a mixtape maker, DJ kind of guy.
Yeah, out of New York. And he came to a Hives gig.
Shit.
So you are accepted. You can retire right now, the Funk Master.
But do you want us to retire? No!
No!
that's
right. Because we want you to cover more bands like The Reigning Sound.
And play our own songs too, right?
And play your own songs too, but you don't really want to play them too much because you wanted to sit back and enjoy the pleasures of experiencing life with the...
Hives.
With the Hives. Now, I want to know a bit more about your knowledge of America. Here we are in Austin, Texas. You guys weren't familiar with Kentucky Fried Chicken, or at least that full name. What are you familiar with in the terms of rap lingo, Hives? Like, what have you learned about rap lingo or American expressions?
We know it all. We've seen it on TV, you know.
I have an expression for you. I want to test you right now, Pelle of the Hives and Chris of the Hives. Here's a little expression for you. He's rocking the bucket low.
Didn't know that one.
He's rocking the bucket low. Now, what could that be, Chris and Pelle of the Hives, if you know America so well?
Probably a good show.
No, that means he's wearing his hat down over his eyes. The bucket is the hat. They don't have too many hats in Sweden, do they?
You don't think we have hats in Sweden?
You don't have as many hats in Sweden. Otherwise, you know about rocking the bucket low.
Cold in Sweden. You have to wear a hat sometimes.
We have toques. You probably still don't have the baseball hats thing.
That's not too popular. Have we don't play a lot of baseball.
How about other
helmets?
Yes, that is true.
You don't really rock those low a lot of the time.
What American expressions, though, have you picked up? Have you picked up on any besides rocking the bucket low?
I think you'll have to do it expression by expression, actually.
So none
again.
None has come up. Well, actually, I wanted to ask you guys, Hives, and we're speaking here to Howlin' Pelle.
I'm Chris.
And Chris.
Dangerous.
Of the
Hives.
Of the Hives. When I interviewed you a long time ago, I keep referring to that interview, your bassist, Matt.
Yes.
Destruction and yourself, Pat Pelle, complained about cheese. Is it true that you guys are mad about the cheese-based diet in America, that everything is cheese-based? Are you still upset about that?
No, we've gotten pretty used to it.
It's fine.
It started to agree more with our metabolism now, since we spent more time here.
But again, what was your problem with cheese? Like, you're in America, and, like, you're everything.
Everything. I mean, it's kind of hard not to notice it, so I guess.
Don't we like cheese?
Sure, we like.
Not that much.
You have to have high-quality cheese, but less of it. Plus, I think what we're angry about now is the quality of American bread.
You don't like the American bread?
Bread in America basically sucks.
Yeah. Why is that?
It's... If you have a loaf of bread that says super white and ultra soft, there's nothing in it. If you put your hand in the bag, you reach the bottom of it if you're not careful. The bread is too soft and too white. It won't do anybody any good.
So what are the Hives going to do about this? You've changed the metric system. Are you going to change the bread system?
Is there such a thing as the bread system?
I think so. It's up to you to change it.
Agreed on by scientists, the bread system. I think we have to bring in some fiber in the diet in America. It's too easy. Everything just goes straight through, and then the only thing that stays in the American people is the preservatives. That's why if an American person dies, he stays the same for 2 weeks before he decomposes. This is not a state of affairs that we're happy with.
So you're going to maybe sell bread at your gigs to get Americans more healthy?
No.
Maybe just give them a hint of what we're talking about.
Yeah, through music. Yeah.
So no cake, no let them eat cake like the old days. Now you want to make them healthy.
You have to, I mean, if we go through from an A chord to a G chord in a specific way, we can make people understand this. You have to eat bread with more fiber. We don't actually have to say it.
Pelle and Chris of the Hives, I'm kind of upset. I saw an interview with a guy called Skinhead Rob. He plays in the band The Transplants, and he was asked which music he hates, and he said the Hives. How do you answer critics like that? I want to hate him now.
Skinhead Rob from The Transplants.
He said he did not like the Hives.
I don't think I have.
You had a run-in with him?
No, I've never met Skinhead Rob from The Transplants. I think he's mad because his girlfriend is in love with us.
That's Kelly Osbourne?
Is it?
It is.
I'm more right than I knew.
Have you ever met Kelly Osbourne? Has she been to any of your gigs?
Briefly, yeah.
And what was that like?
Fast.
Howlin' Pelle Almquist and Chris Dangerous of the Hives winding up here. I wanted to ask you about your look. Not your look right now, but the tuck look that you get. The tuck where you put your tie into your shirt. Is that true that it's from a Canadian border patrol?
I've seen Canadian Border Patrol that had their tie like that, and that's where it came from, yes. Plus, you don't want to tangle in the guitar strings and stuff, so that's a pretty good way of doing it.
I love the Canadian connections, because, of course, the Smugglers kind of have that look too, don't they? A band from Canada.
Yeah, they do.
And, of course, you guys are friends with Danko Jones as well, aren't you?
Yeah, we've met them a couple of times. Yeah.
Like, are you to blame for Danko Jones having a Swedish girlfriend and a Swedish radio show? Have you hooked up a Canadian with Sweden? Like, are you to blame? Are you slowly bringing Canadians to Sweden?
slowly bringing all of them to Sweden. Most of it is our fault. You can pretty much blame us for everything.
So you're bringing Canadians over one by one to Sweden. What is Danko Jones' radio show like? Does he do a radio show in Sweden?
I don't know. I heard that he's going to interview me. He wants to interview me about singing. And I heard the two guys he interviewed before me about singing were the guy from Iron Maiden and who else was it? Some other guy, I can't remember. But the guy from Iron Maiden and me, and we're going to talk about vocal technique or something. I don't know. It sounds very interesting, doesn't it?
Iron Maiden and Pelle Almquist.
Talking about vocal technique with Danko Jones. I have no idea what it is, but I'm very interested, and it's going to be fun doing it, I guess.
Danko has a very good vocal technique himself, doesn't he?
Yeah, sure.
Like, he just belts it out.
Just goes for it, yeah.
Pelle and Chris of the Hives. I wanted to ask you again, because I have so many questions for the Hives here, but winding up, Justin Timberlake changes his underwear 6 times a day. How many times do the Hives change their underwear a day?
At least 7 from now on.
Yeah, now we got to top Justin.
I thought you were into the underwear changing. Are you into the underwear changing?
Into anything hygiene. We love hygiene, lotions and potions and soaps. And
so you guys are into a battle then. Like if you learn that Justin Timberlake does it 6 times, are you automatically wanting to do it 7? Are you a competitive band?
If we are. The thing is that if he changes 6 times, I mean, we're 5, so if we change 1, we do it 10 times, you know?
Yeah.
You're always competitive. The Hives are always competitive.
That's the downside of being a solo artist, you know.
Now, Hives here, a bit of a personal question. I also interviewed the band The Demons from Sweden.
The Demons?
The Demons. There's quotes beside their name. And apparently, they're all uncircumcised. So for all the ladies out there, is that a characteristic of Swedish men? Are the Hives uncircumcised too?
I think most Swedish people are, actually. Does that scare you?
I'm not sure. I think it scares some people when they look at the demons. I don't know what they're doing looking at the demons. But I guess, have you encountered any sort of a reaction from Hives groupies? Like, oh, Pelé, you're uncircumcised. No, I don't want you.
No, never.
Pelé and Chris of the Hives, winding up here, I wanted to ask you a tiny bit about here alcohol in Sweden. It's quite expensive, isn't it?
It is.
Is that a warm-up? What is some way to get drunk really fast in Sweden? How do people get drunk really fast in Sweden?
There are a million ways, actually.
Most of them has something to do with drinking, actually.
Yeah, because I understand alcohol is very expensive. I guess most people kind of get out there and party with the Hives. But I heard that people could snort vodka off a spoon. That's one way to get really drunk really fast.
Well, it is, but it hurt your nose, though, don't you think? I heard another way is putting alcohol on a tampon and sticking it wherever you want, and then you get drunk pretty fast. I think, though, that the best way to get drunk, I think what most people do is, alcohol is pretty expensive in Sweden, but the thing is, Swedes make a lot of money, so it's fine, and people can just drink a lot really fast. I think that's the way most people do it. Or they make it themselves.
Now, there's one other way, possibly, Chris and Pelle of the Hives, to get drunk really fast on the expensive alcohol in Sweden. There's one other way. Have you ever heard about this? The yogurt technique.
No, that's not about getting drunk fast.
What is the yogurt technique?
About something else. I think what people used to do was you'd go to dances. They did it with cream, though. I don't know if this is the same thing you're talking about, but this is what they did. They'd go to dances that you weren't supposed to be drunk at. They wouldn't let you in. They alcohol tested you. So what you do is you drink, I don't know how much, like a quart of cream or something. You drink a lot of cream, and then you drink a lot of vodka, and then you walk into the dance. And you're sober when you walk into the dance. But after a while, the cream dissolves, and you get drunk. Is that what you heard about?
That's amazing, Pelle. That's pretty much what I heard. But I heard
you
that then
get drunk faster, though.
No, because
you get drunk slower.
No, because you didn't add the secret ingredient. You're supposed to have a Coke, and that breaks the coating, and it all explodes.
But that doesn't make it faster, though. But it's pretty interesting.
It gets you drunk really, really quick.
Yeah, because then
And really, really intense too. It's the bomb technique. Thank you for verifying. I thought that was an urban myth, an urban legend, but that is true.
People did that, yeah. You go and buy your Coke. Yeah, I could see that happening.
So, winding up here,
dads probably did that in the 50s.
Winding up here, Chris and Howlin' Pelle, I'm Quest of the Hives. Anything else you want to add, people out there at all?
Great to talk to you.
Yeah, and see you in a while.
New record coming soon, though. Exciting new record.
Yeah, exciting new record.
Coming in the summer, you think?
Yeah.
And why should people care about the Hives, Pelle? Why should people care?
You already know that.
Yeah, I think they already do.
You already know why to care about the Hives.
And I think you already care, don't you, people?
Actually, yes. We wonder, who owns the Hives, Pelle? Who owns the Hives?
We do. The 5 of us in the band own the band.
All right, well, thanks much, Chris and Pelle of the
Hives.
Keep on rocking in the free world and
do-do-do-do-do.
again, you're still listening to CITR Radio, FM 102, Cable 102, Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, and the Nardwuar to Human Serviette radio show. You just heard The Hives, and before that, an interview with The Hives. The Hives played the South by Southwest Music Festival this year in Austin, Texas. So did Franz Ferdinand. Coming up, an interview with Franz Ferdinand, but the interview was done in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Before we get to Franz Ferdinand, I thought I would play a few influences or bands that Franz Ferdinand kind of digs. I'm going to play the Monochrome Set, then I'm going to play the Thanes from Scotland, and I'm going to play the Kaisers from Scotland, and then an interview with Franz Ferdinand. The Monochrome Set right now.
Tick-tock go the death watch beetles in El Presidente's swill. Pop-pop goes the Cricor Magnum at the reading of the will. Hiss-hiss goes the snakeskin wallet stuffed with Cruziero bills. Here we come, the jet set junta. Rum rum goes the armored Cadillac through Montevideo. Rat-a-tat go the submachine guns to restore the status quo. Snip-sick go the tailor scissors on the suit at Savile Row. Here we come, the jet set junta. Here we come, the jet set junta.
Thank you. time, Caroline. Am I being a fool over you? Yeah. What you done now? Come on, give me a clue. Take your time, Caroline. Time, Caroline.
Who are you?
I'm Alex from Franz Ferdinand.
Alex, who else is in Franz Ferdinand? Could you introduce them, please?
This is Bob.
I'm Bob.
And this is Nick.
Hi.
And this is Paul.
Hello there.
Right off the bat, Paul, is it true that you are a human guinea pig?
Yes, that's true. That's
now,
true.
What exactly did that entail? And it was regarding your tail, wasn't it?
I had my tail removed for medical science. No, the times were hard, and I was lazy, and I had to pay my rent, so I decided to have some fat removed from my backside, and a whole lot of other things which wasn't worth £250, which is what of your Canadian dollars? £250?
That's $500.
Nah, not that much.
What did you think, Alex, about your bandmate there having to have some flesh taken out? Was that how bad it was in the early days of Franz Ferdinand?
It was. We were all, incredibly impoverished. But I didn't think too much about it until he showed me the scars, and then I couldn't get the thought out of my head.
Now, are we allowed to see the scars at all, Paul?
Certainly not. What time does this go out?
Well, we'll make it goes out at the right time, no. So, really, what did it feel like when you got it out? Was it hard to sit down? Did any other people get the flesh taken out? When you signed up for this thing, did you know what was going to get taken out?
Back off, Sigmund. What the hell? Which question?
I'm just wondering, you sign up for this thing, were you, picked because you were, the rock guy, you'd have to get, chunks out of your ass? Why did you get the chunk? Were there other people that signed up for this experiment?
I guess lots of people in Glasgow signed up for this experiment, yeah. Yeah, I'm the poor sod that was nominated. No, but, no, I wouldn't do it again, certainly not.
The thing is, we needed to get money together for the band to buy instruments and stuff, and we thought, we need to sell Paul's ass one way or another, so we might as well do it physically.
Stop him from selling it one way.
I think it's just amazing, the band begins and, you sell your ass. And now, you guys, is it true you're editing The Guardian, the prestigious Garden newspaper?
Yeah.
You're the editor. What's going on there? You're going to be editors of The Guardian.
I know, it's mad, isn't it? They don't know what they've done.
Yeah.
From flesh removal to editing The Guardian. Is that how quick things have gone for Franz Ferdinand?
It is. It's astonishing, really, isn't it? It's astonishing. But, that's the truth of it.
Now, Alex, looking at your shoes, people seem to be fascinated by your shoes. Kids are fascinated by your shoes, aren't they?
If you look, we've all got some interesting shoes on today. I think I'm wearing my conservative shoes just now. I'll put on my sparkly ones later on. I don't know. It's just all part of dressing, isn't it?
You said you'll never wear the Chuck Taylors on stage.
The what?
The Chuck Taylors.
What's a Chuck Taylor?
I don't like the Vans, you know, like the sport basketball type shoes.
And you've got a nice pair of...
I wouldn't wear ones like that.
Yes, that's what I was wondering. What do you think about my shoes? How do they stack up for the Franz Ferdinand?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, it's just like every item of clothing, isn't it? You use it to express your personality, and you seem to have a lot of personality to express, as do we.
Well, the reason I wear them is I also play in a rock and roll band, and I like to jump around a bit.
Okay, right.
But, I mean, looking at your shoes, how do they work for the jumping around?
Oh,
I mean,
well,
just looking at your shoes, Franz Ferdinand, would we assume that you guys don't jump around much on stage?
Quite the opposite. We jump around a lot. But what you've got to realize is with shoes like these, they've all got leather soles, so you can do lots of good sliding motions and skids across the stage and splits. And it's a different kind of dancing. We're not doing the kind of basketball dancing. We're doing a kind of, like, more...
James Brownish type thing?
Yeah, a kind of James Brown. We're all going to get those capes as well and fling them off and get Glenn to put them back on again.
Now, speaking of shoes, look, Glenn is the guy you're making do everything, aren't you?
That's right. That's
Maybe
right.
We should explain, who is Glenn?
Glenn's our friend who looks after us on tour.
It's more like we're looking after him sometimes.
Yeah, he's like a big baby, isn't he? No, a big incontinent baby.
Alex, speaking of shoes and such, and jumping around on stage, blisters. You've got quite a few blisters, haven't you? Wasn't that one of your earlier bands, The Blisters?
My God, you're a good researcher, aren't you? Yeah, that was... Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Now, what were The Blisters like? What was it like with the era of The Blisters?
It was, I guess... similar, just a lot of sort of like teenage energy going and spazzing out on stage, maybe not as focused as we are today.
So here you are, Franz Ferdinand, in Vancouver, British Columbia. Canada.
Yeah.
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. Now, what are the Canadian connections to Franz Ferdinand?
We toured with Hot Hot Heat.
You toured with Hot Hot Heat. You can't get more Canadian than that.
I guess.
Actually, Hot Hot Heat opened. No, you opened for Hot Hot Heat.
We opened for Hot Hot Heat. So we did a tour with them and the Fiery Furnaces, and Hot Hot Heat were great. We liked their attitude. They're a fun pop band, and they make people dance. They're cool.
Yeah. How about their shoes? How are they? Do Hot Hot Heat have better shoes than me?
Dustin's got great boots,
Good boots. So did Steve. He's got good shoes. But so is Paul and so is Dante. They're all... all got great shoes.
Yeah.
So, Franz Ferdinand, any other Canadian connections? Hot Hot Heat? Hot Hot Heat opened? You opened for them?
My mother and my grandparents emigrated to Canada, lived here for 3 years, and then moved back to South Shields.
Whereabouts, and why did they leave?
They left in Toronto. They lived in Toronto, and they left again because they had name money. But that was... ages ago in the 60s or something like that.
I was thinking another Canadian connection, which you haven't mentioned, Alex. Yummy Fur was the name of one of your bands, and Yummy Fur is a Canadian comic book by Chester Brown, right? Is that not true?
That's correct. The Yummy Fur had an album, the Canadian flag, too. But Paul's more the Yummy Fur man than me. I just played bass for a little bit at the end. Yeah.
You guys had an album called The Canadian Flag?
With a Canadian flag on the front, yeah. Inside a hand.
That's when was that?
98 or something like that.
So we have Yummy Fur, we have Hot Hot Heat, we have Your Relatives, and then we also have the Monochrome set.
Oh my God. What's the Monochrome set connection?
Well, first off, what's the importance of the Monochrome set to Franz Ferdinand?
Well, for me, I know Bid, who is the singer of the Monochrome set, and he's been very supportive of music that I've done before, and I've written things for him and worked with him before. He's a cool guy.
And one of the dudes from the Monochrome set lives in Montreal now.
No.
Yes, another.
Which one?
I'm not sure. One of the dudes from the Monochrome set. Another connection to Franz Ferdinand. And lastly, another Canadian connection, Isabel from Belle and...
Sebastian?
Belle and Sebastian played her last gig ever with Belle and Sebastian in Toronto.
Oh, is that right? Toronto?
In Toronto.
Is that true?
Yes.
Belle and...
In fact, we part of the reason we had our band together is because of Belle and Sebastian. Mick, who plays the trumpet and bass sometimes in Belle and Sebastian, gave me an old bass guitar and said, do something useful with it. So I kind of taught Bob how to play it. And that's how the band sort of started.
And you guys are Franz Ferdinand. And one thing I've really been digging about you guys was this picture here. If you could just open this up. It's a nice little center spread we have here. And show it. Actually, right here. Right here we got the picture. I love this photo.
Great.
From the Enemy. Now, does this symbolize everything about Franz Ferdinand right here?
Friends. There's Hannah and Roxanne and Manuela and Celia and Joe, Mad Joe. That's Alana. That's us.
They're dancing? Yeah, I'm wondering. Who is that guy?
She's married to the lead singer of the UEFA.
Yeah, that's right.
No way. Any connection in this photo? That's now, right. What I love...
No, I don't... I met him once at a party, but I can't remember his name.
There's another Canadian connection.
But I do love this picture because it shows you like to get the girls dancing, and boy, they really are dancing there. But I love the indie rock nerd right at the front with the Swiss shirt.
He's a nice guy. I've spoken to him at parties, and he's very nice.
But that would be like me at the front with the Swiss shirt. Does that symbolize it? Because is that what it used to, let me cover this up. Is this what it used to be like at the gigs in Scotland before you started?
It's what it still is.
Just like one guy at the front with a Swiss shirt.
Yes.
But now you've expanded it.
Yeah.
No. So you do know all...
Oh, right, yes, that's right. We've invited these characters in and they all dance now.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's really interesting is you actually interviewed Morrissey for the Enemy.
That's right, yeah.
In the Enemy.
Because Morrissey saw that guy wearing a Smith shirt. It's an Enemy, didn't
he? Something like that. But yeah, we interviewed him for the Enemy recently. And he's cool. He's really... And his new record's really good as well.
Now, let's just say something right off the bat. Morrissey and Enemy, an interview. That doesn't usually go together, does it?
It doesn't. You see, the thing was, he hadn't done an interview for 12 years. And he fell out really badly with the Enemy. They wanted to do a feature on him because they've kind of realised the error of their ways, and they realised what an important character he was in the history of music. They wanted to feature him, but he wouldn't talk to any journalists, so he asked us to interview him instead.
He used that as a medium. as a conduit.
And did they ended up asking all the questions? Did any of your questions get in, do you know?
Well, we prepared about 40 questions. It ended up just turning into a kind of conversation, really. And somebody sat with a tape recorder and recorded that, and is going to write up the article, so...
Hopefully it'll all come out. Actually, if you could show that picture one more time. This here, Alex, of Franz Ferdinand, is this the chateau? Is this the legendary chateau place?
This is the chateau here. This is the last show that we did in the chateau. Hopefully we'll do some more, but this is on the 7th floor of an old Art Deco warehouse. You can see all the kind of crappy plumbing. We put all these lights in. We put the electricity in. Can you see in the windows in the background? All the windows were done in, and we replaced them with friends of ours in Glasgow with bits of old perspex.
Replacing with friends. Yeah.
Our friend's standard, it was something like that. Yeah.
That's right.
How hard was it to create the chateau? Because I understand it was like mummified pigeons and pigeon shit. Yeah. How hard is it to clean pigeon shit? What advice would you give to people trying to clean pigeon shit?
Buy a mask, because like the fumes from the pigeon, the dust can get into your lungs and give you horrific diseases and things. So, but you've no idea how hard pigeon shit is to clean off. It's impenetrable. What's this?
Brands and countrymen, I missed that.
Like that's a good bit of work.
And the mummified pigeon, there are lots of dead things there.
Yeah,
lots
of
dead things. Get professionals in because they're toxic.
Yeah.
And you guys.
Professionals are.
No, the pigeons.
Glenn is a professional,
yes. He's toxic as well, yeah. We've lost him, as usual.
And you guys are friends?
Ferdinand.
Here in Vancouver, British Columbia?
Yeah.
Canada! Now, Franz Ferdinand, you guys have a song called Cheating On...
You.
Now, is that true that it kind of has an early Beatles vibe to it? You kind of were thinking of the Beatles, weren't you? The early Beatles.
Yeah, definitely. There's something, I mean, as far as the Beatles go, like, for me personally, I love the early stuff when they play sort of, like, really direct, raw pop music. And yeah, that's what we kind of wanted to do.
Because what I was thinking is, like, your band name, Franz Ferdinand, is very prim and proper. There are other Scottish bands, like the Kaisers.
Oh, yeah, the Kaisers. The Kaisers are a brilliant band. Like, they've got that total
early Beatles thing going.
Yeah, that sort of Cavern Club sort of beat feel about them. Yeah.
That's a total nobility type rock, gentry type rock thing, like Kaisers, Franz Ferdinand. And I was wondering, were you also influenced at all? Because I got a little hypothesis here. Were you influenced by these guys at all?
The Thanes
from Scotland.
They're another really cool band. In fact, I've got a guitar like that. Is that an old harmony? Yeah, it looks like it. Yeah, they're from Edinburgh.
That's right, I used to put on gigs when I first started playing in Edinburgh.
Was that Lenny?
No, Lenny's a drummer. Lenny drums in the Wildebeests now, doesn't he?
Actually, we can find out about the... I did actually have a Wildebeest 7-inch right here.
Yeah, we mentioned the Wildebeest in there. They are. Yeah, these are all bands that were like playing about in Glasgow and sort of very much in Edinburgh as well.
These
are cool guys. Like that, they did a lot of stuff, and I think generally the history of bands in Scotland and in Glasgow and Edinburgh, their attitudes are Yeah, shaped the way we are.
It's so cool that you give props to bands like the Thanes and the Kaisers. And my theory of that is, if you turn it over on the back, look what it says. Distributed by K Records, Olympia, Washington. And of course, K was one of the pioneering labels that like imported in with fans of, like, Bell and Sebastian and stuff like
that. Oh, is that right? I didn't know that, right? Yeah, I mean, Bell and Sebastian, of course. Yeah, very important for us too. Yeah.
That's Calvin Johnson's label, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, Calvin Johnson was importing this Thane Scottish rock to North America way before the Scottish rock explosion of 2004.
Yeah.
Of Yummy Fur. Actually,
I played with Dub Narcotic as well this last time they were in Glasgow, and Calvin Johnson threw a huge tantrum because we ate all these Tunnock's caramel logs, which are a Scottish delicacy. And he picked up the box
that
and
was him.
Fuck, man, there was a whole box of these. You ate his box of candy?
Yeah, I didn't realise it was his, but you know, I think he was a bit put out. He was looking forward to taking it home with him, I think. But.
Did he come out to see you in Seattle, though? Were there any K-Rockers that came out?
No.
I think it's so great that you know who K-Records are, that, like, associated with it. Like, I'm linked to you guys through K-Records, through Calvin.
Oh, wow, how's that?
Well, just because I bought the record.
All right, okay.
Franz Ferdinand, you seem to be able to answer everything, and maybe you can help me a bit more. Just winding up here with Franz Ferdinand, what do you know about the Poets?
Oh, the Poets.
Scotland's number one group from the 1960s, the Poets.
Yeah, well, they were a beat group around about the same time as the Rolling Stones were sort of coming about, also managed by Andrew Lugo.
Scotland's number one group.
Well, I'm sure they were at one point. But again, so like, I guess they were... Yeah, they were sort of at the heart of that sort of independent sort of like beat combo sort of attitude, which I guess sort of was the beginning of where we ended up. But funny, Andrew Lou Golden, another connection there.
He lives in
Peru or something.
Oh, he's moved to LA. He
lives in Vancouver now.
No! Does he?
Yes. He's gonna be at your gig tonight, I bet.
No way, really? Oh, that's good because Andrew Lou Golden also produced our friend's band, which is V-Twin, and one of the guys that plays in V-Twin was in the original lineup of Franz Ferdinand.
And they mixed their album in Vancouver.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, Michael and Jason came to mix it in Vancouver with Andrew Lou Golden.
Oh, wow. Gosh, we've got a lot of connections with Canada. Yep.
But the thing about Franz Ferdinand is it always goes back to one thing. It always goes back to one thing. It goes back to this, doesn't it? What is this, and who am I alluding to, and maybe can you try to play it?
Paris? I don't know. The stylophone?
Who plays the stylophone?
Roll Paris. David Bowie.
You're missing in a very important band. A band that you might have given their first break.
Me?
Not Morgan.
You had the Kazoo Club, didn't you?
Yeah, of course I did.
Alex, you had the Kazoo Club, and you put on lots of bands in Scotland.
How do you know this stuff? Yeah, yeah.
You put all these gigs in Scotland, and what band did you give an early break at the Kazoo Club?
I'm trying to think. I'm Morgan.
Bell and?
Sebastian, of course, yeah.
Yes, they play a stylophone.
Yeah, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah,
there's one in Space Oddity as well.
You don't remember seeing them on stage? You remember them seeing one of those on stage, didn't you?
I don't remember seeing the stylophone. I remember seeing, like, lots of...
Can I have it?
No, unfortunately not. I just thought they'd immediately see this and connect it with Bell and Sebastian.
Yeah, I didn't, but yeah, I do remember them playing with him, definitely, but...
It is true that Rolf Harris was into these.
Yes, he was.
Oh, yeah.
He was into these big time. So what can you explain about Bell and Sebastian? Did you really give Bell and Sebastian an early break there with the Kazoo Club? What was the Kazoo Club there?
There was a place in Glasgow called... called the 13th Note, and I used to stick bands on there. I used to have two clubs called the Kazoo Club and the 99p Club, and the Kazoo Club was free, and the idea was that bands would just come down and play for sort of like a bit of beer, and people wouldn't have to pay, but we would sort of like give them amps to play with and stuff. And the 99p Club, we just charged a quid to get in, and everybody from the band got the money, and it was just a good sort of environment. Lots of people got together, and it was a good scene.
Because I was fascinated to learn that Alex was on the scene early in the Scottish scene, wasn't he there?
I suppose so.
Like, giving Bell and Sebastian a break.
But you don't know anything about...
I thought you were brand new.
But you don't know anything about...
I know you want this. I know you want this. And I know you're not that... Is he a big Bell and Sebastian fan?
He is. He loves
it. Are you really? But you didn't notice that they played these on stage.
Damn you. I did.
No, caught on film. Were you sleeping during their gigs?
Oh, shit.
Believe me, some people have, haven't they?
I think we fell asleep.
The stylophone solo, but...
Winding up here with Franz...
Ferdinand.
Nan.
I wanted to ask you about Bill and Sebastian. I mean, in all seriousness, the importance of Bill and Sebastian, is it true they have, like, treasure hunts and stuff like that? Like, secret games that they play with their audience?
Yeah, they go for picnics and things with their audience and stuff like that, yeah. They have a lot of fun.
Have you thought about doing anything like that?
Maybe in the summer.
Yeah, it's not picnic weather just now, is it?
Who is Rob C. Nesbitt?
Rob
C. Nesbitt.
Again?
And how is he important to Scotland?
He's missed out and all that. He's the caricature of a certain character that is prevalent in Glasgow.
Living Govan?
Now, is that like all people in Glasgow and Scotland? And how would you describe him to people that don't know him?
Everybody in Govan at least looks like that.
Now, how would you describe Rob C. Nesbitt?
It's so not true. He's an exceptional character that you sometimes come across in Glasgow. He wears a string vest which is stained with food and beer and sick, and he has a Daily Record in one pocket, which is a tabloid newspaper of Scotland. Usually has a drink. He's usually drunk and shouting his world views at the world. So,
it's like a caricature of like pub bores, you know, people that sort of like think that their opinion is the be all end all of everything.
Are you guys the new Rob C. Nesbitts, or Franz Ferdinand the new Rob C. Nesbitts?
I think so.
Because people are listening to you all over the world.
Well,
I've Rob C. Nesbitt was, so we can obviously, we're not.
But you inspired me to check out to see who he was.
Oh, that's
thank
nice.
You, Franz Ferdinand. Actually, it made me say what. You guys really like the word what, don't you?
What?
Yeah. I heard you like the word what.
Really, who said that?
You said just put what in front of everything.
Oh,
like
oh,
what,
yeah,
Nes?
Yeah.
That's your thing. To go what?
Yeah. Well, we did that once.
Did we?
Oh, what?
Oh, right, yeah.
What? What are you talking about?
I don't know. What was going on?
What?
You like the word what? I was just saying you like the word what. Like, you told people to use the word what. When in doubt, use the word what.
Yeah, so like, if you want to doubt something, then what's a good prefix?
Franz Ferdinand here, winding up. You guys are called Franz.
Fer.
De.
Nan.
Nda. Now, have you been confused with anybody else? Like, with Rio Ferdinand. Like, there's a soccer player called Rio Ferdinand. Like the brother of, anything like that?
Everybody's confused in Glasgow.
He's rather late as well.
He's like a guy that conveniently forgot to take a drug test and got suspended for 8 months.
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
Like, Franz Ferdinand. Do people think you're Franz? Or, like, do you think you're related to Rio Ferdinand, the soccer player, football player?
There's a tribute band, Rio Ferdinand, which is a tribute to REO Speedwagon and Franz Ferdinand.
Oh, no way!
Yeah.
REO Ferdinand.
Uh-huh. Is that Carney's thing, is it?
I've no idea. I've never heard of them in my life until yesterday.
Is that the same people behind, like, the Different Strokes, all those, like, different tribute bands?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. The Different Strokes and the...
Stripes. And the Morrissey Miners, the new one. Children singing Smith songs.
Oh, wow.
Do you know what a Morris Minor is?
Yes, the car.
Yeah, well, he's got the Morrissey Miners.
Did you tell him about that when you interviewed him?
No, we didn't. We forgot to mention it. I think he would have been into that.
That's amazing about you guys, you Franz Ferdinandish type people are, is that I was told that you were Dadaists. You were Dadaists.
Oh,
Dada art schoolists.
We're not Dadaists.
Like, I heard that you were Dadaists, like art school guys. But you are so cute and cuddly.
All the Dadaists are dead. Like, we like Dada.
But you're so friendly. You're not like Dada art schoolish type people.
We like the aesthetic of Dada. I don't like the text.
But I think always people have this, like, misconception that anybody connected with art is going to be like pretentious and stuck up their own arse, but that's not the case at all. Like, everybody I know, all the artists I know are really down to earth. So,
anybody that knows the Thanes is a friend of mine. Thank you, Alex.
Yeah, thank you.
Anything else you want to add to the people out there at all, Franz Ferdinand?
What?
It's great connection.
I thought our sound man also does Manitoba, who are an excellent band, and they're from Canada.
Who are also on Domino Records. Who is
which connects to Franz Ferdinand. More Canadian connections.
I see. My in the art school in Glasgow, the wood technician who makes all the stretchers, his daughter emigrated to Canada. He comes here every summer.
Wow! More oozing out. Any last Canadian connection? You gotta have one. Come on.
I can't think. The only one I can remember is my
sister's, my girlfriend's parents were on holiday in Canada last year.
I don't work, Franz Ferdinand.
Keep on coming, don't they? We're practically Canadian.
Thank you for coming here.
Yeah, thank you.
And conquering the charts.
Oh, thank you.
Even though Jet are number one in Canada.
Are they?
Yeah, so it's time for you to displace them.
Good luck for them.
Franz Ferdinand. The shooting of Franz Ferdinand caused World War I, right?
That's true.
So, there would be no what if there was no band Franz Ferdinand?
No interview?
Yeah, ba-boom! That is true. Thank you for creating that.
It's a pleasure.
Well, thanks much, Franz Ferdinand. Keep on rocking in the free world and do-do-do-do.
Do-do.
Great. That's it. Yeah.
Cheers. The song is called Cheating on You.
cheated on you, yeah. I cheated on you, yeah. I cheated on me. Jacqueline was 17, working on a desk when I peered above a spectacle, forgot that he had wrecked a girl. Sometimes these eyes forget the face they're peering from, when the face they peer upon. Well, you know that faces I do, and how in the return of the gaze she can return you the face that you are staring from.
Tell it tonight.
Yeah.
sorry. I licked her lips, but she's sorry. We're gonna have to tell her tonight. Gonna have to tell her tonight. Gonna have to tell her tonight. Gonna have to tell her tonight.
Help you get actively involved in your new CB's language, try to speak all the parts of the following three dialogues with the speakers. These practice lessons will give you a feel for rhythm, and once you master that, you'll begin to develop your own style.
Breaker 1-9, you got the rhinestone cowboy here.
Now fix the cowboy. Come on back.
Yeah, guy, this is YB1179, the rhinestone cowboy. Looking to do some grocery shopping on the westbound of this number 135. Come back.
Hey, guy, you're getting stepped all over. Skip down to channel 15. Channel 15.
That's a big four.
At this point, the two CBs switch their transceivers to channel 15. 15. Because channel 19 is very crowded, and 15 is clear.
Breaker 15. You got the rhinestone cowboy again. Come back.
Roger, cowboy. You're looking for a grocery store.
That's a big 10-4.
Yeah, guy. There's a chuck-em-up stop about 3 miles on the right.
Breaker 15 one time for that rhinestone cowboy. You there, cowboy?
Go, Breaker. You bought the channel. Come on.
Negatory on that grocery store, good buddies. They got under the sheets.
That's a big 4-10, guy. Any other black water hole?
Yeah, guy, you go 5 miles to a smoky bear cage, turn right, and there's an eat-em-up stop about a quarter mile on the left. You got that, guy?
Roger. I'm up, I'm down, I'm gone.
Yeah, guy, I'm westbound, looking around, 10-10 till then.
Now, let's review for key words. Grocery shopping. To stop and eat. Getting stepped all over. Your transmission is being interfered with. Black water hole. A coffee stop. Smoky bear cage. A police station.
Break 19 for northbounder on this here 15 one time.
Come on, Beaver Breaker.
Hey, thanks for the comeback, guy. What's your 20?
Say you got the monkey wrench here, KPK, 1175 Melton Rubber on exit 38. What's your handle, Beaver?
Hey, you got one Eager Beaver here headed for that old bean town. We got your back door guy at exit 36.
Okay, Eager Beaver, we'd be headed for that Lone Star Ranch up in the old Granite State. You keep that back door shut good and tight now, and we'll be shaking the leaves for you. Come on.
Hey, that's a big Charlie Brown guy. You got one Eager Beaver on the side and satisfied.
Hey, where's that Eager Beaver?
Hey, you got one Eager Beaver here. Come on back.
Hey, what's happened, Eager Beaver? You got one Beaver Eater here.
Hey, Beaver Eater, what's your 20?
Hey, I'd be sitting in the saddle headed south for that dirty city. Too bad we can't get an eyeball on you. We heard tell of some evil Knievels up away on my side. Better keep an eye out in case those snakes decide to do a flip-flop. But you're looking clean and green to the piggy bank for sure.
Hey, threes and eights to you, Beaver Eater. Maybe we'll catch an eyeball on the rebound. You got one Eager Beaver, KAK 7324. We up, we down, we in and out. You get to the bean town, you give me a shout.
The dialogues should be getting easier to understand, but let's not push our luck. Let's continue with the reviews. Handle. Your code or CB name. Shake the leaves, also called beat the bushes. First CB vehicle looking for police. 20. Location. Sitting in the saddle, also the rocking chair. Middle CB'er in a convoy. Evil Knievels. Motorcycle police. Eyeball. To see a fellow CB'er or to meet him.
Break 19 for all you westbounders on this big 94. We got us a granny in the middle aisle, and she just passed in the Ann Arbor exit at 46.
Thanks for the breaker on Grandma. We got an eyeball on her right now. Looks like she's trying out for the Turtle Olympics. Good numbers to you. Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. This be the big bug on the side and standing by.
By this time, you're probably finding the dialogues are sounding very familiar to your ear. But there are still a few words you don't know yet. Let's review one more time. Granny. A slow driver. Good numbers to you. best wishes. Keep the shiny side up and the dirty side down. Drive safely. One thing you'll find unique about the CB community is its constant concern for safety on the road. You may have noticed that most sign-offs remind motorists to take care and get home safely. For example, you're likely to hear,
"Keep your nose between the ditches and smokey out of your britches there now, guy. This is KPG 8765. We gone."
Or possibly,
"Stay between the jumps and bumps there, guy. We gone. Bye-bye."
One thing for sure, every CBer knows the advantages of the highways, but at the same time remembers the careless driver can make the highway a hazard. To expand your vocabulary, here are some more CB terms frequently used on the road. Affirmative, Charlie Brown, or 10-4. Yes, I understand.
Hey, guy, that's a big 10-4.
Bears, policeman.
This here slab is wall-to-wall bears.
Beat the bushes. First car or vehicle with CB in a group, traveling in the same direction, going a little above the speed limit, but not too fast to get a ticket.
Okay, guy, I'll be beating the bushes for you. You keep that back door shut tight now.
Both feet on the floor, or streaking. Driving as fast as possible.
We're doing it to it with both feet on the floor.
Brake. Request to use a channel.
Brake 19 for 1036.
Bumper lane. $50 or monster lane. The far left lane on the highway.
There's an 18-wheeler doing it to it in the $50 lane.
Beaver. Female.
Hey there, come on back, beaver breaker.
Buffalo. Male, often used by a beaver to refer to her husband.
Hey, good buddy, thanks for the offer some Blackwater, but I got my buffalo riding shotgun with me today.
Blackwater. Coffee.
Hey, guy, I'm going to get me some Blackwater at that old orange roof ahead.
City kitty, local yokel, or county mountie. Local police.
Watch out for that old hole in the wall. We got us a local yokel on the south side.
Clear and rolling. Sign off and moving.
This is KKC 2469, the bumper thumper, clear and rolling.
Clean and green. The road is free of police and obstructions.
Hey there, guy, put the pedal to the metal and come on, because it's clean and green all the way to that Hartford town.
Convoy. A group of CB-equipped vehicles traveling in the same direction, keeping in constant contact with one another.
Hey, guy, welcome to the convoy on Route 15, going to the old bean town. We're glad to have you at the back door of our convoy.
Do it to it. Full speed ahead.
Thanks for that clean and green, good buddy. We're going to be doing it to it in the $50 lane.
Down and on the side. Finish talking, but listening.
This is KKC 9400, the bumper thumper down and on the side.
88s. Love and kisses.
Well there, guy, I'm going to be passing along a big stack of 88s. You got the happy pussycat. KPC 3622. We gone.
Ears. Ears on. CB radio turned on.
Hey there, blue four-wheel in the truck-em-up lane. You got your ears on?
Eyeball. Have the vehicle you're talking to within view.
Hey there, four-wheeler. We got an eyeball on you.
Flip-flop. Return trip or U-turn.
You have yourself one fine day. We catch you on the flip-flop. Bye.
Four-lane parking lot. Expressway or roadway with a traffic jam.
Hey, guy, you better pull up to some double nickels, because at exit 191, you got rubbernecks that are making this here slab worse than a four-lane parking lot.
Front door. First vehicle with a CB in a group, traveling together in the same direction in a convoy.
Hey there, little pregnant roller skate. We're going to pull up the hammer and ride the rocking chair, so you got the front door now.
Good numbers. Best wishes.
We'd be leaving you now, good buddy, and we'd be passing along all those good numbers to you.
Guy. A fellow CBer.
Hey, guy, how's it looking over your shoulder? Come back.
Granny, a slow driver.
Watch out, good buddy. We got us a granny at exit 121, heading east on this here green stamp.
Grocery shopping. Stopping to eat.
It's about time we do some grocery shopping up there at that old orange roof, for sure.
Hammer up or hammer down. Accelerator, gas pedal.
Put the hammer down there, guy. Let's get an eyeball on each other.
Home 20. Home or base station location.
What's your home 20 there, Beaver?
Mail. CB conversations overheard.
We've been reading the mail on this here channel, and we hear that there's a county mommy at exit 21 South, so hammer up.
Negatory. No. Negative answer.
Hey, buddy, thanks for the offer, but we gotta say negatory on that Blackwater stop.
Pregnant roller skate. A Volkswagen.
Hey, Artichoke, you better hammer up at exit 33 North. You got a granny pushing a pregnant roller skate in the monster lane.
Seat cover. Passenger. Usually a female. And an attractive one.
Hey there, Mr. Minuteman. You'll want to check out the seat covers and that little yellow bug as you go by, come back.
Short. Very soon. Restroom stop.
Mercy, can somebody give me a 20 for a short?
Stepped on. Transmission has been interfered with.
Hey there, paperboy, come on back. There is some ratchet jaw that just stepped on you.
Wall-to-wall bears. Police everywhere.
Hey, good buddy. You better hammer up. We got wall-to-wall bears all over this here. 1, 2, 6.
We gone. Stopping transmissions and standing by.
This here, KKC 2469, the Careful Bachelor. We gone, bye.
As a new CBer, there are certain things you must remember before you break onto the airways. For instance, there are certain no-nos in the CB community.